We're studying in Hebrews chapter 2. This study in Hebrews chapter 2 has really made my heart tender. It's given me a new perspective upon what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon Calvary. I want to read beginning with verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing the captain of their salvation, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the little children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here we find the Holy Spirit revealing to us two deaths. In verse 9 of this chapter, it tells us that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the death. Has the definite article the before it. It is talking about a specific death. The word is thanatos. The thanatos death. Associated with this thanatos death is his crown and glory. This has to do with his position in the heavenlies before he became a little lower than the angels. Not only did he suffer the death, it says that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. There's no definite article before this word death. This is physical death that he experienced on the cross. My study of this, the death, has led me into the Garden of Gethsemane, because this is where Jesus Christ suffered the death for, as brought out in this passage of Scripture, the many sons that are being brought into glory, or the many sons, those that are brethren that he is not ashamed of, and the children. Actually, the word children is paideion, and translated in other portions as little children. So he is not talking about dying for the sins of the whole world as in reference to tasting death for every man. The thanatos death is to be associated with the many. With the many. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. This word dead here is not thanatos. It's a different Greek word. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, because every man was dead in trespasses and sins, and every man can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second death in this passage of Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 2, is Thanatos' death. And it is the Thanatos' death. In Hebrews 2:13 it says, "And again I will put my trust in Him," that is the Father, "and again behold I and the children," that is the little children, "who will enter the kingdom which God the Father hath given me." In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, we have the passage of Scripture that has the word paideion in it, or little children. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The little children are the ones who are entering the kingdom, where if you are born from above, you get to see the kingdom. The Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. If you're not seeing the kingdom, if you haven't entered the kingdom, you're in the lake of fire. So to be saved is to be born from above, and you have the privilege of seeing the kingdom. But if you become as a little child, that is, a little child is submissive to his parents. Now, we're not talking about the terrible twos, okay? We're talking about a child that will submit to his parents. When his parents reach down to hold his hand across the street, he'll give him his hand. And so we're talking about little children that are submissive to the Lord in this case. In verse 14, "For as much then as the little children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the Thanatos' death he might destroy him," that is, the devil, the serpent, "that hath power of the death," that is, the devil. Again, the little children are those that will be great in the kingdom. So what I have done is, in studying these portions of Scripture as well as others, I see that the little children that are entering the kingdom, that the Thanatos death that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced is for them. Not for everyone. These are the ones who will, are the ones that will, are part of the many sons. They are part of those that are brethren. And brethren, by the way, not every child of God is a brother. We have used that term loosely. A brother in Christ is one who is seeking to enter the kingdom. Not many are trying to do that. But in fact, it says, "Who is my brother? It's he that's doing the will of the Father." And if you're not studying the Word of God, you're not interested in the will of the Father, because that's how you find out what the will of the Father is, by Bible study. Now, there's an interesting parallel. Let's pick up on this second death that we're talking about, the Thanatos' death. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 43, we find Jesus Christ in the garden. "And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." Here we find Jesus Christ exceeding sorrowful unto Thanatos' death. Now, there's no definite article "the" before it here, but I believe that this is where the Thanatos' death took place. Notice that those that were with him, "and he taketh him," and it says in verse 33 of Mark 14, "and he taketh them Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be heavy." This is when his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Peter, James, and John also had another unique experience with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." What Jesus did was He separated Peter, James, and John away from the other 12 apostles. Well, in this case, 11 apostles. Well, it wouldn't be 11. It would be the other 8. Peter, James, and John went a little further with Jesus than the other 8 apostles in the garden. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what happened in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And I emphasize the word apart. Peter, James, and John were apart from the other 9 at that time. A unique group. So associated with the Thanatos death is a small group of even the apostles. In Luke chapter 22, verse 43 through 44, it says, "There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." This shows you the agony through which Jesus Christ was going through at this particular time. Our last study on this portion of Scripture dealt with the fact that when Jesus was crucified, He was in charge. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. When I'm ready, I'm going to say it's finished, and that's it. There's not going to be a Roman soldier kill me. And when I get ready, I'm coming back. And I just happen to say it's going to be in 3 days, and I'll be back." Now, if you had that authority, would death be of any consequence to you? Yeah. Shoot me. I'll be back in 3 days. You better watch out. No. Well, anyway, when Jesus said it is finished, where did He go? He didn't go into hell to suffer for my sins for eternity? Because I know He's not there now, and He'd have to be there if it was eternity. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Where did He go? He went to paradise. Is that a bad place? No. The thief wanted to go there too. In fact, the Lord says, the thief says, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom." He says, "You'll be with me in paradise today." And of course, he committed his spirit to the Father, and his body went in the tomb. So, death is nothing. Physical death is nothing to fear. And I'm not taking away from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. His crucifixion on the cross satisfied God Almighty as far as the sin of the world is concerned. Just like the animal sacrifice for the individual all through the Old Testament satisfied God as far as the individual was concerned. It's just that the individual had to sacrifice the animals for themselves, where Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself once for everyone and took care of it. But His sacrifice on the cross, I do not want to diminish that because it is significant. It makes it possible for everyone to be saved. But in the garden, He suffered Thanatos death. And He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He didn't sweat blood. And the reason He didn't sweat blood, it doesn't say that He sweated blood, because He wanted to be sure that we would be aware of the fact that there is a distinction between when He said it is finished and when the blood was shed. The blood was not shed on the cross until after He said it is finished. You can't find one drop of blood on the cross from the Word of God. It's not there. Man has put it there. You know what? From reasoning. Oh, they beat Him. And of course, anytime you beat someone, they bleed. Obviously, that's true. But the Holy Spirit did not want any blood associated with His crucifixion until after His death, His physical death. So, He agonized in the garden. And notice that in his agony in the garden, an angel ministered to him. There were no angels ministering to him on the cross. And the last time that one time, I can't remember if there's any other time that an angel ministered to him, but I know that in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil was contending with him in the desert, when he was being tempted, when the devil left, the angels ministered to him. Okay? Now, what did Jesus say in Mark chapter 14, verse 36? And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. What was the cup that he wanted to be relieved of? Not the death on the cross, but the Thanatos death that he suffered in the garden. Because the cup of the crucifixion lasted only 3 days. What he suffered in the garden will last throughout eternity. I was going to say a while ago, and I forgot my train of thought. Death for us simply means absent from the body, where? Present with the Lord. We don't need to be afraid of dying, because we know where we will be when we die. And Jesus knew where he was going when he died. But he also knew the significance of the Thanatos death that he wanted to be delivered from in the garden. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. It's also interesting to note in Mark chapter 14, verse 37, when he came back to Peter, James, and John, you know what he found them doing? Sleeping. Sleeping. I was just thinking about people who pray to the apostles that they might, they pray to the different apostles and the Mary and all that. I just wondered if they're still sleeping. If you catch them sleeping, what are you going to do? No. What's interesting is that he found them sleeping because Satan's hour of bruising the heel of the seed of the woman. Satan was bruising the heel of Jesus Christ. We'll get into that in a minute. But it's also interesting to note in Luke chapter 9, verse 32, where it says, Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory. You know where this was in Luke chapter 9, verse 32? On the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was transfigured, what were the three apostles doing? They were catching up on their Z's. Death, Thanatos death, is significant. And I guess I just had not noticed this before when I was reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I've always associated Thanatos death in Hebrews 11 with the physical death. But when I saw in my notes in my Bible, the Thanatos death, that's what we're showing till he comes. Because when I relate to Thanatos death, I relate it to his coming kingdom and glory. His Thanatos death was for the many sons, for the brethren, for the little children. That Thanatos death rendered Satan's power of Thanatos death not totally useless, but he lost the power that he had to overcome us. That's what it amounted to, and we'll get into that in just a moment. There's a parallel passage, I believe, in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53:9, it says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. The Septuagint renders this Thanatos death. And in the margin, it's plural. Two deaths. I relate that to the death in the garden and the death on the cross. In Isaiah 53 and verse 8, It says, He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, and He was stricken. Or, as in the Septuagint, He was led to Thanatos death. That is the death on the cross. This is physical death on the cross. In Isaiah 53:11, it says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Where was Jesus travailing of soul? In the garden. That's when the Father saw the travail of Jesus' soul in the garden. And it says, By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Not all, many. That is, the little children, the sons, the brethren. These are all interested in ruling and reigning with Christ. He shall bear their iniquities. Actually, the word bear carries the thought of carrying the consequences of lawlessness. This word iniquities in the Septuagint is translated, or is the word lawlessness, or anoma. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, it says, After the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your own iniquities. The children of Israel who went into the spy out the land and brought back an evil report, they bore their own iniquities. And you know what the consequences were? 40 years in the wilderness till you all die. Jesus is going to bear our iniquities for us, or that consequence for us, so that we can do what? Enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. Whose iniquities did He bear so that they could go into the land? It was the little children. It was the sons and daughters that were less than 20 years old that went into the land. It was Joshua and Caleb. He bore their iniquities. Joshua, or Caleb, was 40 years old when this happened. He was 80 when he went in, or I think it was 80 or 85, something like that. You know what? Caleb says, I'm just as strong at 85 as I was at 40. I tell you, I'd like to experience that right now. I'd like to have that at 65. So, Caleb and the little children, they did not bear. They had to spend the time out there with them, but they didn't perish. They didn't die. Okay? So, what Jesus Christ did in the garden when He suffered Thanatos' death, He said, I'm going to bear the consequences that you would bear because of your lawlessness. I'm going to bear that for you. Now let's go on and pick up the thought here. In Isaiah 53 and verse 12, Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and will divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto Thanatos death. Who will he divide the portion with the great? Well, it says the little children will be great in the kingdom. If you will, in other words, if you humble yourself and become as a little child, you'll be great in the kingdom. And he's going to divide the spoil with the strong, those who don't quit, those who are faithful, who are steadfast, who are unmovable. And what spoil is he talking about? Well, where is our warfare? It's in heavenly places. Where will our spoil be? It'll be ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom, because Satan will be defeated and we will rule and reign with Christ over the earth. We'll be doing what Adam should have been doing, but failed to do it because of his sin. We'll get into that in just a moment. So he says he will, because, and the reason that all this can happen is because of what he did in the garden. Because he had poured out his soul unto Thanatos' death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, or the lawless.
Lawlessness will cause you to disqualify yourself from ruling and reigning. You know what lawlessness is? It's saying, I have the right to be disobedient. I have the right to say, God, you don't rule over me. When Jesus cried, Abba, Father, in the garden, you know what he was saying? He said, Father, you have the right to call the shots in my life. I do not like the thought of being reduced to less than you or to less than what I had when I was with you. Let me just stop here and bring out something. Remember when James and John said, Lord, grant to us anything we ask. And the Lord said, well, what do you got on your mind? And he says, when you enter the kingdom, I want to be on your right hand and the other on your left hand. And we know the Lord's answer. He says, that's not mine to give. Now, if James and John were on his right hand and on his left hand, would that make John and James equal with Jesus? No. I mean, if you're on the right hand and you're on the left hand, I'm up here. And those two guys are not equal with Jesus. Well, where is Jesus today? He is at the right hand of whom? God the Father. You know what that means? That they are not equal today. That was Thanatos' death. Man, I tell you, that makes me appreciate more what Jesus Christ did for me. Because I have a desire to rule and reign with Christ. And He took that for me. That to me is more, I don't know what the word is, but when I think about the fact that He went to paradise when he died on the cross and He came back the third day, that makes what He went through on the cross less than what He went through when He suffered Thanatos' death. That's forever. That'll never change, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and following, deal with the two deaths. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the death on the cross. Much more, beyond salvation, than being justified by His blood, and this word justified is the verb form of being just. To be justified is to be just, or not to be guilty of, to be guilty of sin. It says that we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. What wrath will we be saved from? The wrath of the judgment seat of Christ. This is talking about saved people. This is not talking about the wrath of hell. And it says, we, the heirs of salvation, shall be saved from the wrath, that is, at the judgment seat of Christ, through Him. Why will we be saved from the wrath? Because we know that we have to confess our sins. If there is sin in our life that we will not confess, that is a sin of lawlessness, and there is no sacrifice for that sin. You'll have to suffer the consequences. If you're saved and you're in the family, you will not spend eternity in hell. But you will have to suffer the consequences of unconfessed sin. The problem today in Christian teaching is that if you're saved, it's over. You have everything. You have nothing to worry about. And that's just simply not the case. If more Christians knew the consequences of sin in their life, they would stop doing it quicker. They wouldn't. You know, we all sin, but we that appreciate what sin can do to us, we stop quicker. We repent. We confess it. That's why we have this table, to encourage holy living. Now, we know that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another,
and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 it says, If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by Thanatos' death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That is, we will be delivered by His high priestly office. Now, it says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Well, what is reconciliation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we have the husband and wife scenarios. And if a husband and a wife split and they are joined back together, that's reconciliation. So reconciliation is not getting saved. Reconciliation is a child of God getting back in fellowship with the Lord. When is it that we are divided or unreconciled? I guess, is that a good word? I don't know whether that's a good word or not. When are we unreconciled? Well, it says, when we become enemies. When a man and a wife become enemies, they need to be reconciled. When we become enemies with God or with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to become reconciled. When do we become enemies? Well, Luke chapter 19, verse 27 tells us, "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them." You don't want to know who the enemies are? Those that will not let God be in charge. When you refuse God authority in your life, you're an enemy. And it says here, "Bring him hither and slay him before me. You will perish." Just like mom and dad did in the wilderness. This is talking about the parable of the pounds, by the way. And this has to do with who's going to rule over 5 cities, 10 cities, and so forth. In Hebrews, or in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is" who? "The enemy of God." Well, it's interesting that he uses the word adulterers and adulteresses. Those are both people who are unfaithful. When you're unfaithful to God, you become what? An enemy. When you become a friend of the world, in other words, you're trying to please the world, you're letting the world change your life, all they have to do is say, let's go eat. Or let's go do this, or let's go do that. And you'll drop everything. You'll drop an invitation to the wedding feast. To go to the movie. No, that's stretching it a little bit. It's not going to happen quite that way. But you know how we can let anything interrupt our walk with the Lord. And we should not, that's when we become an enemy. Well, I know that there's not much time left on the tape. And I do think that this lesson is so important that we need to pick up on this, and we will do that next Sunday, Lord willing. Because I want to get into the offense. Adam offended in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. And it's very interesting. It says, "Through the offense of one," that is Adam, "many be dead." So he's not talking about the death, all of mankind being dead in trespasses and sin. He's talking about something else. He's talking about Thanatos' death. And so this puts it back into the realm of those who are interested in ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. Now the interesting thing here is this, and I'll just leave this with you. The word offense is a noun. And the verb form is only found in one place in the New Testament. Only one place. And that is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. And it's translated, "fall away." It's impossible to renew them again who have fallen away.
especially if they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. And crucifying the Son of God to yourself afresh is simply saying, get lost. Lord, I'm in charge. You are in grave trouble when you do that. In fact, it says here, you'll be put to open shame. The translators didn't do us any favors when they put the word him in there. That's strictly, it's in italics, it's been added, and it's trying to point the finger at Jesus who is crucified. It's not Jesus being crucified that's going to be ashamed. It's you. It's me. If we abandon the hope that is within us. Lord willing, we'll pick up here and continue our thoughts on this. I'll tell you, when I learned this about what Jesus Christ did for me in the garden, I do appreciate what He did on the cross. That made it where I could get in the family. But He did something to Satan and his authority to cause me to go down and to be defeated. Jesus did that. He defeated the devil in the garden for me in that respect. May the Lord help us to appreciate what Jesus Christ really did for us. He died twice. Once in the garden and once on the cross. And I'm thankful for both. Father, we just pray that You'd bless the thoughts that have been presented out of Your Word. We pray, Lord, that it will be a significant truth that will change our lives and help us to appreciate what You did, that we might have life in the coming kingdom. We thank You that You died on the cross that we might be saved. We thank You for the Thanatos death that we might rule and reign. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.